not partial love, not concealing parts of the truth, but we need to have love with simulation, which simulation shows the truth. Amen? Then he says we might have to go through something with joy, because the enemy wants to steal your joy. Nothing makes him more joyful than stealing your joy. You know, when you sing through your trials and your tribulations, it brings joy. It brings praise to the Father. It changes the atmosphere in which you're standing. The circumstance don't seem as bad. In Nehemiah, he said to them, then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to them who have nothing. So when you're going through your trials and tribulations, don't sit back by yourself. Share your joy with somebody else who don't have nothing. Because there's people out there that don't even have joy. But if you share your joy, you break off peace for them, the two of you with your joy together. What does the scripture say? Where two or three are gathered that I'm in the midst, Jesus will start working things out. And then he talks about peace. In Psalms 126-7, it says, my soul longeth dwell with him that hated peace. I am for peace. But when I speak peace, they are for war. So as you go through your days, your trials and tribulations, you will speak peace and they're going to speak a war. I just happened to stop in Sunday school for a little bit. And the instructor said that when I walk in the morning, I could feel a spirit that has already started before I got there. Sometimes they want to drag me into some stuff, and I got to turn my back. Because you can walk in peace, but the enemy want to stir things up. He want to start confusion. He want to start. He want to have things just going on all the time. So in the midst of your joy, in the midst of your peace, don't you know the enemy's coming after you? Jesus' life was very short. But in the midst of that short life, there was so much sorrow, so much pain, so much confusion and misunderstanding. But he realized these are the things that my people are going to have to go through. So I'm going to have to show them how to go through it. Amen? We have to understand that we have to do things with gentleness, with meekness, and control. Amen? 2 Corinthians talks about that. Paul says, now I, Paul, beseech you. When he says, I beseech you, that means he urges you. Not just tells you. He urges you. There's a push going on right there. He says, I beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. So therefore, when we do things, we have to have meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in the presence is among us. That says that if he's in the presence among us, we can have that kind of control in doing things that is of God. Amen? He says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. That means that when they come after you, you don't have to go back after them. We walk through the flesh and in the flesh, but we don't fight with them. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. But mighty. Carnal is not mighty. This is what I read through here, that carnal is not mighty. Carnal might be strong, but it's not mighty. Amen? We don't serve a strong God. We serve a mighty God. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Because he can break down strongholds. So he's got to be bigger, greater than strong. We serve a mighty God. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. But mighty through God, through the pulling down my mighty God can pull them down. He don't even have to break them. He just pull them down. You know, you go in the bathroom, you pull out a tissue, he pull it down. Just like that. Pull it down. Whatever's holding you back, he pull it down. Whatever the enemy has against you, he pull it down. Whatever's going on in your life, he pull it down. But no matter what the trial is, no matter what the need is, the scripture said, God will supply. Some? A little bit? Just the minimum? All of our needs. Hallelujah. But then how does he does that? He has a great resource. Riches in glory are supplied by Jesus Christ. Amen? There is a great mediator. You understand? God's got the riches. I'm going to say this again. God's got the riches. God's got the riches. He's got it. But you need a mediator in order to tell him, ask him, to supply your needs. Come on, somebody. I said, there's a mediator named Jesus Christ who can nudge his dad and say, give it to him. Too many people think that they have the right to go to God. You don't have the right to go directly to him. As a matter of fact, you can't even see him. He told Moses. Moses wanted to see. He says, I can't let you see. But you put yourself in a place. You hide in this cliff. And as I walk by, you'll catch my glory as I go by. You don't need to see. You can catch the glory. People want to see God. You can't see God. But you can catch his glory. When you're worried about what somebody got and you ain't got, you can catch the glory of God. Because the mediator, Jesus Christ, worked on their behalf. Did something that they needed. Paid a bill. Get them a job. Put them in the right relationship with somebody. Took care of their kids. Took them out of jail. Got them off drugs. Got them off alcohol. Had them get cleaned out through court. Whatever it is, you can catch a glimpse of the glory going by. But you can't see it. You see it with these eyes. You got to know that's a work of the God right there. You got to know that Jesus is working right there. Because when you look through this and you see it, you don't see it. Now, God does nothing apart from Christ. They are cut buddies. I said, God don't do anything without Christ knowing about it. And we don't get anything unless Christ is included. Amen? There is no miscommunication between them. Christ is not going to do something, and God says, I didn't know you was going to do that. You didn't tell me about that. There's communication between the two of them. But God lets us know through his word, you can't get nothing without my son. I loved him so much. So the key to having our needs met, we must be one in Christ. I said we got to be one in Christ and with Christ. Hallelujah. Christ is the realm in which God provides every spiritual blessing. Every. He don't give some here, do some there. Every spiritual blessing is because of Christ. Because of his work on the cross. God does not like to be disrespected. Amen? But we were so disrespectful. We are a lion group, a sinful group. He couldn't trust us with the communication. When he looked for Adam, he said, Adam, where are you? Where are you? Adam said, I was naked. Who told you I was naked? Who told you you were naked? Oh, hallelujah. Right there, trust had been broken. Trust had been broken. Jesus Christ came down as a human. He could have did whatever he wanted to do. But he made it plain. I came to do my Father's will. He never detoured to the left or to the right. He went straight ahead. He knew what his purpose was. I came to do my Father's will. And the closer he got to his time, the harder he worked. And the harder he worked, the more abuse he went through. The more suffering he went through. The more people he had to put aside because he had to get focused on what he had to do. Indeed, in Christ, every spiritual blessings. I want to go through Ephesians 1, 3 to 13. And I just want you to remember this phrase, in Christ and in him. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual and heavenly places in Christ. Verse 5, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Hallelujah. Look at verse 7. It says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. You talk about grace. There's no grace without Jesus Christ. There's no grace without his blood. There's no forgiveness of sins. And there's no riches without the grace of Jesus Christ. Verse 9, having made known unto to us the mystery of his will. His will is not a mystery. Paul says he has made known the mystery of his will and what he was purposed for in himself. Verse 10 says that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ. That means in the fullness of time, when this is all over with, he's going to gather those together who are in Christ. I don't know how people think that they're going to spend eternity with the Father if they're not in with the Son. Remember, they don't do things without each other. You can't bypass the Son to hang with the Father. So eternity with the Father, you have to be in with the Son. So all of these God, quote unquote, fearing people that don't respect the Son, I don't know where they're going to be. I do, but I don't know where they think they're going to be. I do, but I know they ain't going to be there. Verse 12 says, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, that after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. That means when Jesus came down, that's the one that God trusted. and in him and through him and because of him, you understand how you can have your salvation. The gospel of your salvation, in whom also that after that ye believed, that ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. So the promises of God are all based on him. Him being Jesus Christ. But God doesn't just provide spiritual needs. See, that's the problem. People think that, I have needs, and I don't need spiritual needs. I got physical needs. God provides all our needs. Jesus, like life and food and clothing, because Jesus himself taught in Matthew that if God clothes the grass of the field every day, if the birds fly and they don't know what to eat, where to eat, and where it's going to come from, if he takes care of them, he loves them, but he loves us even more. I said he loved us. Wait a minute. Make it personal. He loves you even more. You're the greatest creation. You're the greatest creation. Touch yourself and say, I'm the greatest. I'm the greatest creation that God made. He made me in his own image. I am the greatest. I am the greatest. I am. I don't know who the devil wants you to think that you are, but you are the greatest creation that God has ever made. He made the earth, but you're the greatest. He made the heavens, the greatest. He made the stars, but you're the greatest. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. But Jesus said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you. So you know what? Let me say it this way. He's already made you the greatest. But now he's going to add all of these things added unto you. So even though you're the greatest, he's still got more to give you. God is a great God. God is a good God. God is a merciful God. All of these things. You ever go out with somebody and you ain't got no money? And they say, if I got, you got. That's how Jesus Christ, that's how God is with you. If he has, you got. If he's got, you got. You need money, he's got it for you. You need a house, he got it for you. You got some physical, medical situations, he's got the healing. The healing for you. He is the great physician. He is the great physician. Hallelujah. Now, when you got a God to do something like that for you, my question is, how could you ever turn to your neighbor and say, how could you ever keep looking at him? I didn't mean for y'all to say keep looking at him. Look at your neighbor and say, how could you ever not be satisfied? There's no limit to the great resources at God's disposal. Oh, hallelujah. God, forgive us. Even though we take these riches lightly, this thing, this gift that we have called life, don't we take it lightly? Don't we? Then we go out there and smoke. Then we go out there and drink. Then we go out there and take drugs. Then we go out there and run around and abuse our bodies. Then we do those things. Oh, then we take our life lightly. We think that we're 20 and we are invincible, indestructible, that things will never happen to me. It might happen to them, but it's not going to happen to me. Then all of a sudden, if you live that long and age start creeping up on you, you go to the doctor because you got a pain in your leg. Oh, hallelujah. Or your liver, your kidney not acting right. Oh, hallelujah. Need I say more? Need I say more? And then you go to the doctor and he starts asking you a series of questions. Because your inside is telling on your outside. What you done did before touches how you doing right now. And so they ask you questions. And then you start lying. I gotta say it. Because then you're at the point that not only God knows what you did, but man knows what you did. Because as they say, the proof is in the pudding. There is no limit to the great resources at God's disposal. You understand what that word disposal is? That means that it's right here. Amen? You sit at the table. You get ready to eat on Thanksgiving. And you have the turkey there. You got the cake. And you got the rice. And you got the curry goat. And you got the pork chops. And you got everything all around. And you're sitting at the table. And it's right at your disposal. You don't even have to ask for more. You just reach over and get it. Because it's at your disposal. God's riches are right at his disposal. Oh, hallelujah. It's right there for him to give. There's so much. I didn't say money. I said resources. Because when you go to the doctor, he want to know what resources you have in medical benefits. Amen? But you go other places, resources don't necessarily mean money. Amen? When you go for a loan, they want to know what resources you have. They want to know that your resource is your job. They want to know what you have at your disposal. Not only that, they want to know how long you had it at your disposal. They want to know that you didn't just run and get it from somebody or borrow it from this bank to show that you have it to that bank. But when you have God, he is always at your disposal. He is always your resource. Oh, hallelujah. He's always there. Being that he's outside of time, time means nothing. It means nothing. That means whatever time you got, you can call on him because he's at your disposal. He's a resource that you can use. Oh, hallelujah. But these riches in glory, which God supplies through Jesus Christ. Amen? The Apostle Paul knew that it was the Lord God who could meet all of his needs. And he said, my God. Now, when you look at the scripture, he says, but. That means, but. He says, but my God will supply. But there was something before the but. Amen? There was something negative, something that was confusion, something that kind of makes you wonder, what am I going to do? Amen? So he clarifies and says, no matter what the situation, but my God, I'm facing death, but my God. I'm facing eviction, but my God. I'm a little sick right now. The doctor told me that I might not live that long, but my God. The judge said that he's going to put my children away, take them from me, but my God. I know they want to fire me on this job, but God knows I need this job, but my God. He is aware of our needs. It says, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you even ask him. He's able to meet our needs. I'm talking about the supplier now. I'm talking about God now. I'm talking about the supplier. He says, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly. Oh, that's a double-double. That's a double-double. That's a double-double. I know some of y'all used to gamble. You wanted a double-double. I know people who've gone to the casino. They wanted a double-double. That double-double could be $5, but it was $10 now. It was a double-double. Christ is giving us a double-double. It says exceedingly, but abundantly. Far above and a lot more. Exceedingly, abundantly. All that we could ever ask or think according to the power that worketh. Listen to me. It didn't say the power that worketh in him. It's the power that works in us. He will give you exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you could ever ask or think. If the power is in you. He don't need to know what power is in him. He's God. All things are his. But you need the power in your relationship with him. And therefore, that power that's in you, he will give you exceedingly and abundantly above. And if you have no relationship with him, there ain't no exceedingly, abundantly above that he can give you. So your faith and your measure of faith and what you're believing and your relationship with the Lord, when these things come up, he will give you exceedingly. Not exceedingly what you think. Not exceedingly what your faith is. Not abundantly what you believe. Not the power that's in you. Not the power that's in you. Not the power that's in you. Not the power that's in me. But the power that you possess in your faith and believe and your trust in knowing Christ. Hallelujah. You need to know that. Your exceedingly abundant riches in Christ is in exactly the proportion of your relationship with him. That's Ephesians 3:20, in case somebody want to read it later. Now unto him that is able, there's no doubt in God. It says he's able. We know that he's able to do exceedingly. See, everybody says that whole part. He can do exceedingly abundantly of all we could ever ask or think. But they leave out the power that's in us, that works. Hallelujah. You see, because if you just get part of that, you get part of that, you're misrepresenting what the scripture says. Hallelujah. And people will use that and say, oh, he'll do exceedingly. You got a part in it. You got a part in it. You want things to grow. You want things to be great. How's your relationship with the Lord? How's your trust in him? How's your faith in him? He might bless you. I'm not saying that he's not going to bless you. I'm not saying that he's not going to bless you. Because he will bless you with a job. But he says, I'll make you the head. I'll make you the head. I'll make you the head, Mother Parks. I'll make you the head. Some of us don't believe that we could be the head. But he says, I'll do it. I'll do it. You believe in me. You trust in me. You have faith in me. You give me the praise that I deserve. Open your lips and give me the praise that I deserve. I'll make you the head. I'll make you the head. You don't think it, but I know it. He attends to our needs. Even though you think that you don't need, even needs that you don't even know that you have. Oh, hallelujah. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your care upon him. Oh, hallelujah. For he careth for you. You know, when you cast your cares upon him, even though you don't know you have a need, he's taking care of the need. I was listening to somebody the other day. They said all of a sudden, if you're thirsty, you start, the devil got you thinking, oh, I'm a diabetic. I want some water. I must be a diabetic. Oh, I hurt my knee every time I move it. I hear it crack. Oh, I must have arthritis. The devil got you. Oh, every little thing, the devil's got you doubting. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. You could go to one doctor. And I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes they want money. They say, come back in a week. I'm going to give you this medicine. Come back. Oh, hallelujah. Knowing there's nothing wrong. Nothing wrong. Oh, hallelujah. But your mind, you believe worrying. But if you say, I know my God, he careth for me. And he'll take care of all of my needs, even though the ones I don't even know that I need. So if he takes care of the ones that I know that I don't even know that I need, he's really going to take care of the ones that I know that I need. I'm needy. I don't know about you, but I'm a needy person. I'm needy. I don't know those people who don't need the Lord. I need you now. Every day, every hour, I need you now. Oh, hallelujah. Not just when things that I can see, but things that I can't see. I need you now. When I get ready to go out of this door and I leave, Lord, I need you now. When I go home, I need you now. When I'm driving on the highway, I need you now. I need you. When I go in this job, I need you now. When I come into church, I need you now. He takes care of our psychological, physiological needs. It says, and be not conformed. Be not conformed to this world. To this world. But be, every time there's a but, it changes everything. If you read something and you see the word but and nothing's changed in your reading, go back and start reading again. Hallelujah. It says, but. Be ye transformed by the renewing. there's certain things that we got to do. I should never. I shouldn't be in a Sunday school because I start repeating things. But we was talking about. Jesus says you got to be born. Nicodemus. Jesus says you got to be born again. Oh hallelujah, Nicodemus, smart man, probably brilliant for his time. How can we be born again? How can we go back into our mother's womb? And Jesus says, what we speak, you don't know of. What we speak, you don't know of. Oh, hallelujah. What we speak, you don't know of. Oh, hallelujah. But listen to this. Jesus says you got to be born again. But in order to be born again, listen to this. Oh, hallelujah. See, Nicodemus was conformed to this world. Hallelujah. But he had not been transformed by the renewing of his mind. You have to have your mind. He got to wipe it all. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. We got computers and we want to use them again. So we format the database, the hard drive. We format the mind. We format it. Our mind's got to be formatted. It has to be wiped clean. That way when your boy come up to you, your girl, say, hey, how you doing? Remember we? Say, I don't even know what you're talking about. Those are the. Paul says, I press forth towards the mark. I leave behind. We got to leave behind. You know, you don't want to go to, you know, can I say this? Can I say this? Can I really say this? Oh, hallelujah. I know, but I got to ask sometimes. I know, but, you know, meekness and gentleness. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes we go to a different place and we don't want people to bring up that reputation that we have. Hallelujah. So we really have to renew our minds because as soon as somebody brings something up, it's like, well, why you want to go there? Oh, no, wait a minute. Oh, do you really want to go there? You really want to go there? So we have to renew our minds. And I'm going to talk about renewing of the minds. Renewing of the minds is a daily process. What happened yesterday ain't got nothing to do with today. The Bible says we die daily. Huh? We die daily. There's a reason why we die daily. So we don't remember what happened yesterday. Maybe something negative. Something got our goat and we still holding on to it. We got to die daily. God understands. Oh, let me finish. That ye may prove what is that good, acceptable and perfect will of God. Because you know when we are claimed sinners, when we claim to be sinners, and I say we claim it because we hold on to it. What you hold on to, you claim. So we are claimed sinners, amen? And when we get the transformation and the renewing of our mind, we have to prove. Listen, when I turned my life over to Christ, they said, no, not you. You know, when you stop doing things and you stop running around and all of that other kind of stuff, no, not you. Even people that are saved will look at you and say, no, not you. Can't be you. It can't be true. But you have to have that renewing of your mind to prove. To the naysayers, in the church, out of the church, all around, family members, that you're a different person in Christ. Social and relational needs, he says, be kindly affectionate to one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. The provision of our need according to his riches in glory. Amen. I'm going to close with this. Hallelujah. You might have seen it before, but I'm going to say it anyway. Hallelujah. A card once read, "Our greatest need." It said if our greatest need was for information, God would have sent an educator. If our greatest need was for technology, God would have sent a scientist. If our greatest need was for pleasure, God would have sent an entertainer. If our greatest need was for money, God would have sent an economist. But since our greatest need is for forgiveness, God sent a Savior. Let us stand this morning. Hallelujah.